Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Final hour of Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. I'm Tiki Barber. You can hear us on Sirius XM, Channel 206. Stream us on radio.com. Our podcasts of all of our great interviews and segments are also on radio.com. Just search for Tiki and Tierney. Tweet us at Tiki and Tierney. This hour, Tyson Fury, heavyweight contender, boxing contender, not UFC. We're talking Conor before. This is boxing, old school boxing. I think it's making a comeback. I'm interested to talk to Tyson Fury. We all remember his showdown with Deontay Wilder earlier this year. Yeah, I think it was earlier this year where, he outboxed Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder and got clocked in the final round. And somehow, looked like he was unconscious on the mat. Somehow got up, and obviously that ended in a draw. There's a rematch scheduled for sometime early 2020. Not sure where that's going to happen. Both he and Wilder have fights in the interim, including his on September 14th against Otto Wallen. So we'll ask him about that. Anthony Joshua criticized him for taking a lower-tier fight. But Tyson Fury, heavyweight boxer, will join us in our next segment. We did a lot of Tiki and Tierney training camp two-a-days already this week. Today, Joe Theismann, the Redskins, and Tony Baselli previewed the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tonight, there's a bunch of games. My Giants are taking on the Bears. I just saw a report. All four quarterbacks are going to play, which means Eli is going to get a series. Daniel Jones will probably get the rest of the half, and then the rest of the guys will fill in from there. There's some interesting ones but not a ton of them because a lot of these guys aren't going to play. A lot of the starters aren't going to play. The one that I'm looking at most is a conversation we had a little bit of yesterday with Miami. Miami, the Dolphins taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Obviously, I think Jameis has to play with Bruce Arians as his new coordinator. We'll see some time with him. But also Josh Rosen. We got the impression from talking to Armando Salguero yesterday that it doesn't even matter what Josh Rosen does. They're drafting a quarterback in 2020, I should say, after the season, whether they're, 8-8, 2-14, or 10-6. It looks like, and they're not going to be 10-6, but it looks like they're positioning to draft a quarterback. So that game is interesting simply from a Josh Rosen standpoint. He finds himself stuck in like no man's land. And it's very weird for a guy who was drafted in the first round, was seen as one of the best throwers coming into the league last year, and probably was the best pure thrower coming in the league, but had issues about his heart and desire to play the game because he's always talking about all these other things. If he washes out here, two teams in 2 years, and you're a first round pick, that's unprecedented. I don't know if we've ever seen that before. The reason he was out of a job last year was because the Arizona Cardinals were garbage, horrendous last season. And even though he did play, he got beat around and forced them to fire their coach, Steve Wilks, and they hired Cliff Kingsbury, who runs, we all know, a wide-open, spread, air raid offense. And they had the perfect quarterback in this draft to run that, and that's Kyler Murray, of Oklahoma. Won the Heisman last year, got his team back to the college football playoff. They were just outmatched against Clemson. And so Kyler Murray had a really good first preseason game. But just to qualify, the first preseason game is literally as vanilla football as you're ever going to see. It's actually what you see in college, right? In college, because there's young kids who aren't necessarily adept at learning so many systems, you get a lot of base defenses. And so when you walk up there, you know what you see. You can make a one read or two reads and get the ball where it needs to be. The coverage is a lot more spaced out. There's not as great of athletes as there are in the NFL. And so you can excel if you know how to throw in tight windows, which Kyler Murray does. His second preseason game left a little bit to be desired, finishing the game 3 of 8 for 12 yards. And look, that just could be bad series. It could be bad, you know, it could be drops. It could be bad execution by an offensive lineman or whatever it may be. The bigger issue, and it's come up now for the first time, we saw it obviously in college all the time, is the way that he takes his snaps. Now, silent count is not unheard of in professional football. In fact, when you go to a loud stadium, like if we played out in Seattle, CenturyLink Field, or you know, any place that had a dome, it's so loud you can't hear, so you can't scream. Like, you can't just yell, hey, hut, hut. It doesn't matter. No matter how loud you are, you're not going to hear it, so you got to go on silent count. Wide receivers just look at the ball. Offensive linemen, they kind of communicate with each other, but it's the quarterback and the center who have the most important exchange. In old school football in the NFL, you were under center. So if you had to go silent, what you did was just goose your center. You just lift your hand up into his crotch, or you tap him on the hip, or whatever it may be. Physically, you could touch him. But in today's NFL, especially with this Arizona Cardinals offense, because Kyler Murray is so little, he's always in the shotgun. And so the only way to get the ball is to do some hand gesture. Now, we saw this with, I think, what, they have 4 false start penalties? I think it was 4 false start penalties. He got called for an illegal procedure because of how he claps his hands. And look, there's nothing complicated about this. And part of this is just a learning, a cohesion that's happening, that has to happen between the offensive line and the quarterback. But it's also an adjustment that needs to happen between the referees. So the referees called Kyler once. I know I saw it at least once for, you know, basically clapping too hard, which didn't make any sense to me. It's like he's clapping so hard that he's moving his body, which gives the defensive line the implication that he's moving. And so it's a false start on the quarterback. I'm like, what the hell does that work? But that's the changing National Football League. And it's something that Kyler's got to work out, because clearly snap issues, which seem insignificant, as long as you get the ball and as long as everybody's on sides, it affects your execution. It affects timing. It affects how you get into your drop. It affects how many, you know, steps your receiver can take before you can get the ball out to him. And so while we'll look at Kyler's game yesterday and say, man, that 2-for-3 for 8 for 12, yeah, dude, that was pathetic. I mean, who cares? It's the preseason. I care more about the mechanism. And if they can't get this together, and they have a lot of injuries on that offensive line right now, I fear Kyler Murray is going to be running for his life all season, because these guys are going to get tepid. They're going to get stuck in their heels, afraid to move with the snap count, right? This is what we talk about when we say the transition to the NFL game. Defensive linemen are fast. These edge rushers are aggressive. I mean, hell, the D tackles are sometimes the most athletic people on the field. And now you got snap issues, so your front five are hesitant? Oh, forget it. I mean, this thing could go off the rails quickly over something little. Like, that's the NFL. We always talk about game of inches. This is what you mean. It's the little things. It's not the big things. It's not like how far you can throw the ball. It's not like what's your yards after. It's not those things. They matter, but it's the little things. Getting a snap. It's the little things that make a big difference. I think I've told this story before. I remember Sean Payton saying to us once, because we wanted to go on these hard snaps, and you know, you go like hard snap one, you go through the whole count, hut, 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 hut. Stop, you reset, you do it again. We'd always be jumping off sides. He's like, they got 100 women across this, the river, obviously talking about in the New York City, because we practice in New Jersey, can lift their legs all at the same time, and you blank blanks can't stay on tape, blah, blah, blah. He's talking about the Rockettes, obviously. They can lift their legs in unison. We can't stay on snap on hard three, right? That's football. It's the little things. The Arizona Cardinals, new head coach, new quarterback, new system. They got to figure out these little things. It was exciting in week one. Week two, showed a lot of the problems. By the way, Mike Glennon on the other side, he looked like a baller last night. 14 of 11 of 14, had 175 yards and two touchdowns. Mike Glennon, he might be the Derek Carr's backup here. He's not the future. I'm not saying that at all. The other guy who we obviously were paying a lot of attention to was Dwayne Haskins. Dwayne Haskins' first game as the Washington Redskins quarterback, and we just previewed a little bit of this with Joe Theismann in our previous hour, and you should go check that out, radio.com. You can find the podcast of our hours and our Tiki and Tierney training camp two-a-days. Joe was great, and he's always great. But he was talking about Dwayne, and I've been up and down with Dwayne Haskins. I've saw him play in college because I did the Big Ten championship game last year, and he destroyed Northwestern. I mean, they play a very wide zone, Northwestern does, and I mean, he picked it apart. Balls out on time, hitting exactly in the zone, the soft spots of the zones, looked completely comfortable in the pocket, and that's what I expected to come in the first game of the preseason, because you're basically seeing the same things, and we didn't see that. He looked lost. He looked confused. He looked like he couldn't decide where he wanted to go with the ball, and then downstream of that, how to throw the ball. Throwing a swing route to a running back or a wheel route down the sideline to a running back. He kind of like short-armed it and just like shot-putted it over. Obviously, he was intercepted. He had a seam with your tight end. That ball's got to be back shoulder if he's triple covered like he was. He kind of just tried to force it in. It sailed on him and was also intercepted. And so given, as we Joe Theismann told us, this is a young team and they need to develop, obviously, but they also can win because they have talent. It was incumbent to see Dwayne Haskins make some progress, and he did. Now, his completion percentage wasn't anything to write home about, 50%, but he did get the ball out better on time. Not a lot of them were, you know, leading positions. His one touchdown, which was a bomb, was an awesome throw to Robert Davis. It was one read. He was going to Robert Davis the whole time. So while it was an impressive throw, it showcased his arm. It was a one-read throw. As soon as his wide receiver got a step on the corner, he let it go. He put the ball where it needed to be. That has never been the question with Dwayne Haskins. He can throw the ball where it needs to be. He's got to learn how to read defenses. If that play was taken away, he's either sacked or he's got to find a way to get it down. And so I'm impressed with the progress. I'm still not sold on Dwayne Haskins. I think he needs to start. Because if he doesn't, he gets lost a little bit. Joe Theismann thinks the other side, that Dwayne Haskins probably needs to sit. Aaron Murray, who was in with us yesterday, thinks Dwayne Haskins needs to sit. I think for a team that's young like this Washington Redskins team, Dwayne Haskins needs to find a way to make those advancements quicker because they're built to win, and right now they don't have a quarterback that can do that other than Dwayne Haskins. He's just not ready. Lots of football coming up tonight as well. We hit some of those games. But on the other side of this break, we're going to talk to Tyson Fury, heavyweight boxer. He's got a match coming up in about a month, a little under a month. I think it's out in Las Vegas, Otto Wallen. We're going to talk about some of the other heavyweights, the big contenders, Anthony Joshua, Deontay Wilder, and what he thinks about the heavyweight division in boxing these days. TK and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki Barber here on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Pleased to be joined on the phone, especially given that lead-in music by Tom DeCelestino. That one was for you, Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury, heavyweight boxer, joins us here on Tiki and Tierney. Welcome to the show, Tyson. How you doing? First time chatting with you.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm doing fantastic. I'm in sunshine in L.A. Everything's going really well.
Yeah, no, it sounds like it is. You have a fight coming up here in a couple of weeks, just under a month or so, against Otto Whalen out in Las Vegas at the T-Mobile Arena. But I got to take you back to your fight against Deontay Wilder. We've had Deontay on the show a couple of times. He talks a big game. He's entertaining. He's interesting. And you won that fight on points. He knocked you down at the end, and everybody thought you were done. How in the heck did you get up, man?
I was like the Undertaker. I was like a phoenix rising from the ashes.
That's what it looked like.
Yeah, everyone thought I was done, but there was a bit of life left in the old dog just yet.
You know, what does it take to get off a mat in a moment like that? You know what I mean? After a long fight, you're in the final round. Yeah. You know, you get. How do you pull yourself out of that?
It takes a lot of heart and will and determination and the true heart of a fighting champion. And, you know, I never believe a fight is over until it's over.
Yeah.
It may have looked like it was over for a few seconds, but, you know, I always had it under control and I knew exactly where I was. I convinced the referee I was okay and continue to fight is what I do. And it wasn't no big thing for me to get up off the canvas and fight on because, like I've said many, many times in the past, if there's an ounce of breath left in this body, then I'll continue to fight during a fight. I never quit. I never give up on myself. And I always believe I can win no matter what.
Yeah, no, and that makes you someone to root for. It really does, because that's life, man. We all go through things like that. Tyson Fury, heavyweight boxer. All right, there's a little bit, not a little bit, but Anthony Joshua, who just lost his belts to Ruiz a couple months ago here in New York, is getting on you about fighting Otto Wayland because he's second tier. Why did you decide to take this fight? I know he's undefeated. I know he's a contender in a sense, but why did you decide to take this fight as you wait for the rematch with Deontay Wilder?
I'll tell you why, and I've got good reasoning. Well, all the other heavyweights who are known or notable or viable higher-ranked opponents, they either declined the fight or are not available. So I'll run through a few that said no. Kubrat Pulev said no. Alexander Povetkin said no. Charles Martin said no. Trevor Bryan said no. Jarrell Big Baby Miller, been popped for a drugs test. Dylan White, been popped for a drugs test. Wilder's fighting Ortiz. Joshua's fighting Ruiz. There ain't much left.
Yeah. Why did they say no? Are they scared?
They're scared of the Gypsy King. I'm the lineal heavyweight champion. And so they should be scared. Because I'd annihilate those guys. Never mind just beat them up. I'd annihilate them. So this guy, I've got to give this guy respect. He's ranked number 4 by the WBA.
Yep.
He's 6'6" southpaw. He's unbeaten in 20 professional fights. He's coming to win. He stepped up to the plate. He was offered the opportunity. He agreed. You got to respect the man who takes fights, and that's what it is.
Yeah, no, it definitely is, and it sounds like it's going to be an interesting one. I don't know much about him, but I'm looking forward to seeing this. Are you worried about him? I mean, he's got success, he's got confidence. Obviously, he's got to come here, obviously, to Vegas. But you know, are you worried about him?
I'm not worried. You know, to me, it's just a boxing fight. I've had many of them in the past, and I'll probably have many more after this.
Yeah, I hear you.
I don't get nervous about it. I don't get uptight about it. I just have fun.
Yeah,
if you saw me last fight, then you know I have a lot of fun during the fights and in the ring.
Yeah, no, I definitely know you do. We saw it. We saw there's an inner energy there that some people that lacks. It's lacking in some people. Tyson Fury, heavyweight boxer, is joining us here. Now, you talk about coming back and getting off the canvas. You went through some mental health issues 3 or 4 years ago or so, and you've become an advocate and a voice for mental health. Tell us a little bit about, I guess, your journey and what you're doing now.
It wasn't as long as you think it was. It was only 18 months ago.
Oh, wow.
18 months ago, I was 420 pounds. I was down and out. I was suicidal. I attempted suicide. I was fighting a depression and anxiety on a daily basis. Something that I struggled with my whole life, anxiety and depression. Until it got to a point where I didn't want to live anymore. And I used to say, why have I woke up every day? And I was so unhappy in life, and I had no happiness, no contentment. The only place I ever thought I'd ended up was in a padded room somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a lot of courage and a lot of inner will to overcome these problems. But people say to me all the time, oh, you've beat mental health, yada, yada, yada. No, I haven't beat mental health, because like the song that the Eagles wrote, Hotel California, there's a verse in there, and it says, you can check out any time you want, but you can never leave.
Yeah.
That's what mental health is.
Yeah.
You can check out any time you want, but you'll never leave it behind. It's always lurking in darkness, waiting to grab you and pull you back to where you once was.
So how did you pull yourself out of it, Tyson? You know, not to interrupt you, but how did you get out? Did someone help you? Or, you know, what was the process?
I had medical help. I had a good strong support group, family and that. And what made me get out of it was training. I was training a little bit every day. I never trained for boxing. I was done. I was out for 3 years. I was very heavy. It was heart attack material. And I was thought, if I can ever get back training again, I'll become happy. Because I was happy in the beginning, then I was very sad. And then I thought, what made me happy in the beginning will make me happy again. So I started training a little bit at a time, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour. And I trained every day for 18 months, and here I am today, back at number one ranked by the Ring Magazine in the world, heavyweight lineal champion of the world.
That's a great story. It tells a lot. I think it's a great example for a lot of people because they silently go through similar things and they don't know how to get out of it. They got to find something they love. Tyson Fury joining us here on Tiki and Tierney, heavyweight lineal champion, boxer. I wonder, Tyson, you can't have stress after going through something like that, and you see, you know, the Deontay Wilders on the other side of a ring from you. You can't have stress, right? Because you feel like you've been through the roughest thing you can.
Yeah, you know what? I had a lot of stress in my life, a lot of responsibility. I got married at 20 years old. I was a father at 21. I've got 5 kids now, so I've dealt with stress my whole life. I've dealt with responsibility my whole life. You know what? I've refused to take stress on board anymore. Mm. I don't worry about anything anymore because nothing's going to worry about me. All the things I used to worry about and stress over, I don't anymore because I now know that they will never stress over me or worry about me. So why would I pay any attention? I suppose having a breakdown, I had a mental breakdown. And everything I had in the past I used to take for granted. And when I came back to reality, let's say, I had a total outlook of different outlook on life. I'm thankful for fresh air. I'm thankful for breathing. I'm thankful for being happy on a daily basis. You know, life isn't easy. And I suppose having mental health problems and putting yourself under immense stress and pressure does not make life any easier.
No,
no matter how much you worry about something, it's never going to become any easier just through worrying about it.
Yeah, that's a great point. And you thankful for...
always stress over random things that probably don't need stressing over.
Yeah, you're right. And you have something to be happy about. You got 5 kids. I got you beat, though, Tyson. I got 6. So I know stress with kids, man. I know how that works.
I'm 5 and counting.
Still going. That's what happens. Look, Tyson, tell me about the rematch that's about to happen. I don't think it's about to happen, but it's probably going to be early 2020 with Deontay Wilder. I know that, you know, 22nd of February, right?
Yeah,
of February. We know how the first fight went, and I've heard some of your comments on how the second fight's going to go. You got to knock him out, and it's going to be him or it's going to be you. You know what? We know that the point system in boxing is a little bit, it's odd, it's off. It's hard to really understand how it really transpires, but you know, the urgency in this second fight, it's got to be different for you, right?
100%. It's got to be so different because, like I say, I can't let my career be held by accountable for other people.
Yeah.
I've got to take the fight into my own hands. And, you know, I clearly won the first fight on points and I got a draw. And what would have happened if one of those guys had won more round for Wilder? I'd have lost.
Yeah.
And, like, I clearly won, but I could have ended up with a loss on my record through negligence of other people. I can't let that happen in the second fight, unfortunately. I have got to change the outlook and change the style of my fight and make it into a fight where it is him or me.
Yeah.
And that's just the way that the second fight's got to go, unfortunately, because if it was all fair, then I'd outbox him comfortable again. But considering that I can't take the risk of getting robbed again for a second time,
but
I've got to do my best to end it early.
Yeah. No, I got to tell you, Tyson, I think that's what boxing fans, that's what they want to see, right? They want to see putting it all out on the line. And look, if I fail, I'm going to fail giving it my best shot. I think boxing was, I guess, on a low point in people's perceptions for a while. It feels like it's coming back. Obviously, with you and Deontay Wilder, that fight, Anthony Joshua and his Ruiz fight, and that big upset, it feels like, especially the heavyweight division, is starting to regain some prominence. Do you feel that as well, being on the inside of it?
Exactly. I think the heavyweight division is red hot right now. It's gaining a lot of momentum as we move forward. And a lot of bringing freshness back with big fights that people want to see and are actually getting made.
Yep.
I think there was a lot of distastelessness with, say, the Mayweather era with Manny Pacquiao, where the fight that took like 5 or 6 years to build.
Yeah.
A fight that people want to see now never gets done. But with me and Wilder stepping up to the plate and Joshua and the other guys taking risks and fighting other dangerous opponents, and I think the heavyweight division is back to stay. It used to be the glory division of boxing, and
yep.
I know we've always had stars in the welterweight division, the middleweight division, but the heavyweight division is the glamour of boxing. It is the top division, and now it's getting the credit that it did have in the 70s and 80s and 90s. And it was dull for a while when we had the Klitschko as world champion with 26 title defences. That
yep.
Schopenhauer style in Germany, he had the heavyweight division locked down in Germany, and it didn't look like it was ever going to leave Europe. I went to Germany and defeated the long-reigning champion, and I put life back into the heavyweight division just
That's
with
true.
That win. It opened up so many avenues for other boxers to get title shots and stuff.
Well,
so it's been a great journey.
No, it has been, and your personal journey has been great, and it's an interesting one, and it's one that I think people should latch on to. Good luck to you, Tyson. I appreciate you hopping on with us. Good luck. Your fight is September 14th at the T-Mobile Arena out in Las Vegas. It'll be on ESPN Plus around 11 o'clock Eastern time is when the main event starts. So you're headlining that. Good luck against Otto Wallin. And I can't wait to see the rematch of you and Wilder and continued success.
Thank you very much for having me on the show. And I'll see you soon. God
most,
bless.
Most All certainly. Be well. Bye-bye. Tyson Fury, lineal champ, number one rated by a couple of magazines, heavyweight boxer. The heavyweight boxing division does seem to be coming back. There's, you know the names now. There was a while where you didn't really know a lot of those names, and the Klitschkos felt so distant. You couldn't touch them. Now it feels like you can. All right, one NBA GM says, MJ isn't the best. Plus, can Melo find his way back into the league? The blast is next. It's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question comes from Paul from Houston, who asks, with Derwin James now on the shelf and definitely with a foot injury and Melvin Gordon holding out, how concerned are you about the Chargers missing the playoffs this season? I can say very concerned. They're not winning in the division because that's the Chiefs. The Broncos should be better now that they have a little bit of stability, as long as Joe Flacco holds up his end of the bargain, because Phillip Lindsay and Royce Freeman, they got some talent offensively. Then Von Miller and Bradley Chubb on the defensive side. Defensively, they're going to be good. Who knows what steps the Raiders take? Jacobs, they drafted from Alabama, the running back, Antonio Brown. I mean, it's going to be a struggle, especially with Keenan Allen also hurt with an ankle injury. Joey Bosa is banged up again. And they got some issues. I'd be really concerned if I'm a Los Angeles Chargers fan. Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to CBS Sports Radio/AskThePros, CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros, or tweet us at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Tiki Barber, last segment here of the week on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. It's been a good one, too. We've had a lot of interesting guests. Had a fantastic co-host in Aaron Murray, who was in for Wednesday and Thursday. Really enjoyed spending some time with him, and we had a great show today. If you miss any of it over the entire week, go to radio.com. Look for our podcast, Tiki and Tierney. We're also streaming on radio.com, so you can find us in many, many different ways. There are some interesting handful of stories that we need to get to. We call it the blast. Are you ready, D-Cell?
Let's blast into the weekend, Teague.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Teak, let's start off with some baseball here. Mm-hmm. Miami Marlins CEO Derek Jeter says publicly that he's undecided about manager Don Mattingly's future.
That sucks.
Would the right move have been to give Mattingly a public vote of confidence, even if Jeter is still undecided?
No, I think, look, we know what's happening down there in Miami. It is what it is. They necessarily stripped down the roster Their philosophy was very businesslike, had nothing to do with the emotion of the team. Not that there was a ton of emotion around the fan base, as we all know. But they stripped down the team because they needed to get financially right, and they needed a bridge coach to do that. Unfortunately, and it is what it is, that's Don Mattingly. We know where baseball is going. It's these younger, former players, usually catchers, who are coming in, espousing and truly believing in the analytics side of the game. And I think ultimately that's the route that Jeter and his ownership group are going to go. It sucks for Donnie Baseball, but I think he had to go this route because he it would be disingenuous if he said, yeah, we believe in him. He's going to be back next year. We know that's not true.
According to StubHub's release of the most in-demand teams in college football, Michigan leads the way.
I believe it.
Do you think there's a more intriguing team heading into the college football season than Michigan?
Well, I mean, not from a top-end standpoint. I mean, your squad, the U, they interest the hell out of me because of how crazy and dysfunctional it's been. My bad, D, so I had to go there. Virginia's interesting because the ACC has been basically dominated on the coastal side by Clemson. And then the Atlantic side, it's a different story every year, whether it was Pitt last year or Miami or, I mean, it's nuts. So there's a bunch of good stories. I think one that I'm really compelled about is UCLA because of Chip Kelly. And I just saw you mouth this, D-Cell. You forget. Right, you forget that Chip Kelly is back out there, and he's got a year under his belt. He did some magic when he was at Oregon. We got to see if Pac-12 can become relevant again. It feels like it's been a few years now since that was the case. So, yeah, there are some other words. But Michigan from the top end, like a team that potentially can make the college football playoff, easily the most interesting one.
Houston Rockets GM Daryl Morey tells the 100 Thieves podcast that James Harden is the best scorer in NBA history. Is Morey right on any level here?
I mean, yeah, he is. Now, here's the problem with this. Our natural bias of identifying a winner puts Michael Jordan, and because he compared him to Michael Jordan, basically. He said James Harden's a better scorer than Michael Jordan. But our bias is Michael won 6 championships. He could do whatever he want. He averaged 30 points a game over the course of his career. He's not better than Michael Jordan. What are you talking about? He's not a better scorer than Michael Jordan. But the game has evolved, man. Michael Jordan took, I think, a three-pointer a game. He averaged a three-pointer a game. One. He didn't even shoot it. James Harden lives by the three-pointer. It's what they do. It's how he becomes so effective and efficient. And speaking of efficiency, one of the most efficient, if not the most efficient season was James Harden's 2017-18 NBA season. The most efficient scorer in the history of the NBA. Now, it's not apples to apples. He clearly doesn't have the winning pedigree and the winning the ability to win like Michael Jordan did. But assist-wise, over the course of their career, James Harden doubles what Michael Jordan did. So it's not apples to apples, but don't just shoo this off like Daryl Morey is crazy. He actually has a little bit of a point.
The Dodgers and Braves have the 2 best records in the National League, and they start a 3-game series tonight in Atlanta. Do you expect this to be a preview of the National League Championship Series?
Yeah, I kind of do. I mean, you look at the teams that have one great pitching, and the Dodgers certainly have that. And then you go see which teams are have the position players that are exciting. Acuna's been great. Obviously, Freddie Freeman is always at the top. You look at the home runs here. The home run numbers are just ridiculous. They all smash it. The Dodgers have a much better staff, but that doesn't mean something, but it obviously can change in the postseason. So I do expect this to be the case. At this point in the season, it's starting to become clear. For a while, I hope the Mets would get in. They have a good pitching staff. They've taken a couple steps back. But I do foresee this being the matchup. The Dodgers are definitely going to be there. I think the Braves are close.
According to SNY, free agent Carmelo Anthony has taken part in informal workouts this week with the Brooklyn Nets in Los Angeles. All right, Teek, do you think that Melo will be in a Nets uniform to start the season?
You know what? I saw this, and I didn't know what it meant. Like, what does that mean? Carmelo Anthony's working out with the Nets? Is it because he just wants to be around, you know, pros because he's going to get some attention, and or are they like actively trying him out? I don't know what this means. Carmelo, despite what fans or I guess consumers, because there may not be fans particularly of the NBA think about him, guys really like him. Like his peers like Carmelo Anthony. So do I look at this as a sign that he's going to sign with the Nets? No, I think that he has such good relationships around the league that he's able to get in on these training sessions. I don't know how you sign Carmelo Anthony. I just don't know what he brings unless you're the FIBA World Cup coaches.
I mean, at this point, with KD being out, mm-hmm. could the Nets – I mean, could he fit? He's a scorer.
Yeah.
Was a scorer.
But is that the way – is that the route you want to go? I just don't – maybe. As you say these things, I say maybe, because now that I think about how I view the Nets, this season isn't lost because they'll develop some things from some of the young guys that are there around a Kyrie. But they're not winning anything in the East without KD. So maybe. But then what happens if he's like good? Then you gotta stick to him. Oh, hold on to him. I'm gonna say I don't think this is gonna happen. I don't think it is.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
I actually hit this at the top of our show because of the injuries to Avery Williamson. And I got to find out, see if you can find out when that injury happened. We know that the preseason games are just to get back into game speed, and you feel the pace, and just, you know what it's, you feel, you remember what it's like, or get indoctrinated if you're a young player to what it's like to have these heavy dudes just lay on you and like push you around and slam you down and do it for real. Not the pity pat that goes on in training camp these days. And so preseason games, I will never say they're not important. They are important. But the most important thing is that you come out of them healthy. Avery Williamson, did you find out? Yeah, when did it happen last night? In the, you know what, quarter? Like, because I remember watching, I was watching this game. It was the only one that was on, like regular television, because I live in Jersey. And I felt like he was playing into like the late into the second quarter. And we're trying to figure out, like, why is Avery, he's your starter. Why is he still playing into the second quarter? And you know, the thing that Jay Berman and I were discussing was like, was this like punishment? Did he do something wrong during the week? And this is, you know, they're forcing him to play or get extra reps because he missed some time or whatever it may have been. But it's so dangerous in the preseason because of what happens in the offseason. And this is what I started the show with just briefly. The training and the being around the training staff, both from a strength and conditioning standpoint and in a rehab or physical health standpoint, is so different than it used to be. You get a tweak or whatever it may have been, you know, 15 years ago, you go see your trainer. Now you can't even talk to these guys. You can't even talk to your strength and conditioning coach. You can't talk to your football coach. And so the plans often become individual. Like, it's up to the guys to do it. And sometimes that's good, but a lot of times it's not, because they come into training camp and they're not ready. And so we see all of these injuries. Andrew Luck is one of these, right? Williamson just happened. Derwin James, maybe he's trying out a pair of new shoes. He's got a foot fracture. I mean, who knows? Joey Bosa, who we keep talking about. Like, we're seeing more and more and more and more of this in the preseasons of the National Football League because of what's happening in the preseason. They're not around enough, and that's got to change in the National Football League. Did you find it?
3 minutes to go in the first half.
Three. He's playing almost the halftime. He's just starting with a linebacker, the second preseason game. I mean, that's poor decision making. Now, look, could this have happened? Was it likely going to happen? If you tear an ACL, you probably were predisposed to make it to anyways. Yeah. But every year we have this. We see slow starts once the regular season starts because there's just not enough practice time, not enough you know, development time, and injuries. It's killing some opportunities for these teams to have really good seasons. It's been a great week with all of you all. I am off all of next week, going on vacation with the family. BT will be back. I appreciate you all, especially you guys on the other side of the glass. Be well.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.